The Gratitude Podcast, episode 54.
I owe it to gratitude. I owe it to the fact that, you know, I think it may be because I came from very humble beginnings. And, you know, from where I started to like where I am now is still like, wow, like I cannot believe, you know, this is my life. But it's something I've always been so happy for. And I know, like, you know, I talked about it being a way of being. One of the ways that I know I do it every morning, the minute I wake up, I always say, like, a miracle will happen today.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today, with me, I have someone that is really interesting and has an interesting story, because she is the kind of person that for which gratitude is so ingrained in her habits and in her beliefs that it's really hard to explain. So that will be an interesting challenge for me, and I'm really looking forward to that. Her name is Christy Linder. She is a management consultant, author, blogger, and podcast host focused on all things transformational. She has spent her entire 16 plus years of her career working for some top consulting firms in the world. I will give you a hint. They are part of the Big Four. She blogs about all things related to personal, professional, and organizational transformation. She uses gratitude in every single part of her life, and thanks to it, she has achieved most of her childhood dreams. Hi, Christy. So nice to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to speak with you today.
Is there something that I missed or that you would like to add?
No, you've covered it. I think it's for me, it's always weird to hear someone talk about me.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people are used to it yet, but it's just interesting sometimes to hear it.
All right. So it will be a little bit of a challenge for me, because people usually know how they got to be in this situation, to be so grateful and to live with gratitude. And it will be interesting to find out how you do it, how you did it, and to share with our audience how they can do it themselves as well. So my first question is, what does gratitude mean for you?
So, you know, for me, gratitude is a way of being. I pinch myself, especially where I am now. I pinch myself in terms of how amazing, like, everything that a lot of things that I've wanted in my life has really kind of come to be. And I really owe it to gratitude. I owe it to the fact that, you know, I think it may be because I came from very humble beginnings. And, you know, from where I started to like where I am now is still like, wow, like I cannot believe, you know, this is my life. But it's something I've always been so happy for. And I know, like, you know, I talked about it being a way of being. One of the ways that I know I do it every morning, the minute I wake up, I always say, like, a miracle will happen today. Mm-hmm. I start every single day and I say that. And guess what? A miracle always happens. And it's not like big miracles, right? It can be the little things, you know, the little things like, you know, I catch that bus that I was going to, you know, I was running for, or, you know, I get the parking spot like right out. So it's like these little things, but they add up, you know, every day, day in, day out. And then I see it and I'm like, wow, it did happen. And in living my life that way, that's just one example of many, but in living my life that way, you know, sometimes people say I'm too optimistic. They think I'm, you know, too, you know, unrealistically happy. But I feel like because of my background, and because of where I am today, you know, I know what my ancestors went through, and they've given me, you know, because I'm here now, they've given me the opportunity to do something impactful and to be living in this time in the history. I have a responsibility to my family and to myself to make the best of my life. And it's only in being, you know, thankful for where I've come and thankful for where I'm headed that I can do that.
Totally, totally. We've talked a little bit about your story before we began, and I'm really curious if you want to share your story, like where did you come from? What's your background? For our listeners to get a better perspective and to understand how you got to be so grateful and where did you come from?
Sure, sure. So I am based in the U.S. and I mentioned to you before that my parents are immigrants. So I am first generation American. So I was born in the U.S. I live in Boston, Massachusetts, and growing up, you know, I'm the oldest of eight. So my mom, remarried. And, you know, so there's like eight of us. So I'm the oldest. There's like, you know, six other boys and a girl. And then me, my sister is the youngest, my sister's the baby. So kind of growing up in that environment, being, you know, being kind of from that, that background, there's a lot of things that people don't understand the dynamics of first generation immigrant children, because we live in two worlds. You know, I grew up speaking Creole and speaking French and speak, you know, and I spoke English, you know, also as well. So it was like in our house, like my mom would say, our house, this is not the U.S. in the house, you know, outside is the U.S., but inside. So she really made sure she raised us with a certain type of like ethics and values that were core to her culture. And so for me, you know, kind of seeing that and then going to school and seeing like things in America, it was always fascinating to see the two sides. So fast forward, one thing I think that my mom really did was that was very helpful for me, even if we didn't have a lot of money, she always put me in different programs, like prep programs, development programs. So that, and she was like that too. She was always reading. She was reading constantly. Like every time if I remember her, she was always like writing and reading, and she was just very, you know, and even if she didn't have that back, you know, she really made what she can with her life. And so I picked up the same type of habits, and I knew I wanted to, by the time I was in college, I knew I wanted to go into consulting. I saw it at an internship, and I was so excited to be able to get into that space. But it, you know, when I finally started to get into consulting, what I learned really quickly is that a lot of the people that I work with, they came from a very different background. You know, they went to, you know, Ivy League schools. They came from very, you know, sometimes prominent wealthy families, you know, very connected. And there was just a gap, you know, like there was what I knew. And then there was, you know, what they had and everything. And, you know, for me, I felt like, wow, like I was always looking for people to help me. Like I said, well, you know, comes, you know, someone to kind of help me. And I just never really found that in the beginning of my career. And then I decided to, you know, I said, I'm thankful I've made it this far. I have to also continue to push. And so that's what led me on a journey to, you know, seeking mentorship, changing, you know, the course of my career journey, and being able to pivot to now where I am today. So I know that's a long-winded story, but
yeah, no problem. But I think it's important, and I'm seeing something that's so it's your story, and I was also thinking about, I don't know if you know about Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yes, he's my fave. I love him. I love him.
Yeah, so he is also a first generation American, if I remember correctly. Actually, he wasn't born in the U.S., but he always says that he's so grateful and so grateful all of the time. And what was very interesting for me to hear him say was the fact that he says that he's so productive because he is grateful. and he appreciates the gifts that he's been given, the fact that he's in the States and that he has had all the opportunities that he has had, that he's just grateful all the time, and he's very happy to be able to do all of the things that he is doing. And I find it interesting that it's similar to your story. Like, you're a first generation American, and you appreciate it much more, most probably, than other people might that are, I don't know, third or fourth generation Americans, because they might have gotten used to the American way of life and everything.
Right. Yeah, no, it's when you see both sides, you know, when you grew up a certain way and then you, like, you know, gain experiences. So, like, with my job, I purposefully wanted to go into consulting because I wanted to work with a lot of really smart people, but I also wanted to travel the world, because I didn't travel when I was a kid. You know, I didn't travel a lot. So I wanted something, a job that will take me places and do things. And that's exactly what I did. When you start to open your eyes and see all these things, it's pretty remarkable. And if you wake up with a different purpose in the morning, you know, you don't just wake up and it's like, oh, is it going to be okay? You know, you wake up on fire, like, okay, what am I going to do to impact the world today? Like, I wake up like that, because I know, you know, now, Jordan, my mom is like, my mom has passed away. Like, my grandmother, like, a lot of the people, the elders of my family have since passed. Mm-hmm. So because I'm the oldest in my culture, I'm the oldest. I am the elder now. So could you imagine? I mean, some people may say, wow, you look young, but I am the oldest. I'm the eldest. Wow. And when you have that type of responsibility, you know, I now have, you know, 15 nieces and nephews, you know, in addition to my brothers, you know, my sister. And so when you have that weight of a responsibility and like, this is where you are. It's just, I take it very seriously, and I'm just so thankful. I'm very thankful.
Yeah. I'm really curious if you want to share with us where you're from, actually. Like, where is your family, your ancestors from?
Yeah, they're from Haiti. I don't know if you've heard of Haiti. It's a Caribbean island. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's not that far away from the States, right?
No, it's south. It's south. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. In the Caribbean. Yeah.
And do the people there have any habits, any things that are related to gratitude? I'm really curious if there is something in the culture that is related to gratitude.
Absolutely. You know, whenever I go to Haiti, I have never been around, like, you know, people are just so thankful for everything. Like, in our culture, like, you know, predominantly most people are Catholic religion. And so religion plays a big part of every, you know, of most people's lives. But I mean, you see people have gratitude for the littlest things. Like, I mean, things you don't think about, you know, they're happy when they have, you know, in Haiti, they're happy when they have, like, basic amenities, you know, basic, you know, like, housing and water, clean water and food and access to, like, the internet. Like, and it's things we in America, you know, I think sometimes people don't realize how much we take for granted some of the basic types of amenities that are out there. But when you see that, you know, and you know, you get a chance to live that does something too, you know. So, like, I've always, you know, I'm born here, but seeing the images, not only in Haiti, but going to other countries, you know, I've been to a lot of other countries and just seeing how they live and how happy they are without a lot. They don't need a lot of things. Like, we, all the stuff, you know, people need here in the U.S., they don't need any of that. And they're so happy and they live such a peaceful life. It's pretty remarkable. So to me, those moments really ground me and they really, you know, make me remember, you know, what my responsibility is, but also, like, you know, how to live in the moment and how to really make sure that I enjoy and experience life as I've been experiencing it. So
that's amazing. I also have a personal curiosity. I've been to to summer training with the Big Four. And I've talked with the trainers, and I asked them how is life as a consultant. And from what I heard from them, I told them to be really honest. And they said that it's pretty busy. Like, they do get to travel, which is really great, but it's also really tiring sometimes, and it's really, you're on the road all the time and you work a lot. How do you manage to work a lot of time and still be able to feel gratitude, to experience gratitude, and to enjoy the journey?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know for me, I think it goes back to me doing the type of work that I love to do. So I knew, like I said, I always wanted to go in consulting. But for me, I was very specific about wanting to make an impact. I couldn't just go into consulting just to say I'm a consultant. I wanted to be in an area and do work that I love, that's meaningful to me. And that's why, you know, I dabbled with IT consulting, because when I started my career, the .com was like the big rage back then. This was 20 something years ago. Oh, well, not even 15 plus years ago, but early 2000s. But that was the rage back then. So I jumped on that bandwagon to say, oh, okay, if I have IT background, you know, I'll be able to, you know, to do more with it. And then even though I was good at it, I didn't have passion, you know. Yeah. I didn't have passion about it. And I said, well, how can I do it? Because the work is demanding. Consulting is extremely demanding. And so in my guiding principle is like, if I'm going to be here, I better have fun. I better feel like I'm making meaning, because this is a big part of my life, you know. And by nature, I've always been a workaholic. That's just always, since I was a kid, I've always been in that, like, you know, I've always had like a very strong work ethic. But I said, you know what? It has to be productive. I'm not just going to work or just to make, like, it has to be. So that's why I do work in the strategy side, people related. So all the programs that I do is related to helping people's careers. It's related to helping organizations create a culture of diversity and inclusiveness. You know, it's related to helping leaders become better, you know, in exec. So all the things I do, I feel like every day I walk away and I do make an impact. I may make an impact on a team. I make an impact on an individual or a business unit for a client. And that for me, even if it's a lot of work, it's gratifying. It's very gratifying. And I'm, like I said, it's not just the work, hard work. It's meaningful work. So to me, if it's not meaningful, it's not fun, I don't think I'd be doing it. I'm kind of in that stage in my life that I'm not doing it for superficial reasons. You know, like I'm doing it because I really love what I do.
Totally. I love it. I love it. I have the same principles, and I also have another principle that I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford, let's say, that I choose the people that I'm working with, and I work with people that I feel that have the same value as I have, and that I appreciate for their work. And this makes for a much more beautiful life and a much, much more beautiful work experience. But I'm really curious also, are you in your work, like with teams, with culture, are you integrating gratitude in that in any way?
Yes. Another great question. So I actually do with my team. So we always start off, like, even with my meetings, to start off with an affirmation, or start off in terms of like, well, you know, someone share like something that they've done that they were happy that they're doing, or something that, you know, with the weekend coming up, what are you thankful that for that you're going to do this weekend? So I try to weave that in, very subtle. I don't make a big deal out of it per se. But that's kind of ways I do it. Like I said, I'm a big affirmations person. So anyone who knows me, I always have a quote. And I get this from my mother. My mother, she always had a quote for everything, and I'm the same way. And so a lot of my quotes, you know, are about motivation and inspiration and really, you know, bringing kind of that element to it. So absolutely. Like I said, gratitude is such a way of being. I don't even think about it. Like, you know, I don't think about it as like, I'm doing gratitude. Like, it's just part of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's always been part of my life. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. So you mentioned that you're a big quote person. What is your favorite quote on gratitude?
So I'm trying to think, what's my favorite quote on gratitude?
There are too many, right?
there are so many. I'm trying to think of like, what's my latest one?
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Today's episode is sponsored by Lumen, the first handheld device that can measure your metabolism in a single breath to tell you what fuel source your body is using for energy, fats, or carbs. Lumen's device and app provides you with personalized daily meal recommendations to help you reach your weight, nutrition, or fitness goals, and has been scientifically validated. If you want to check out how you can hack your metabolism today, visit lumen.me. Use the code GRATITUDE25 to get $25 off at lumen.me. This episode is sponsored by SaveTheChildren.org. Save the Children believes every child deserves a future. In the United States and around the world, we work together every day to give children a healthy start in life, the opportunity to learn, and protection from harm. We deliver lasting results for millions of children, including those hardest to reach. We do whatever it takes for children, every day and in times of crisis, transforming their lives and the future we share. Right now, the coronavirus is the biggest global health crisis of our lifetime, and it threatens children in every way. COVID-19 has already left many children without caregivers, out of school, and exposed to violence and exploitation. Children's poverty is rising. With your support, we can help children in unsafe households and help support distance learning in the face of school closures. Here are some ways your support can make a difference. Choose one or two examples of how far a donation from $5 to $50 can help vulnerable children. Baby's First Book. $5 can buy a baby's first book, providing comfort and inspiring lifelong love of learning. Healthy Meals. $5 can provide a nutritious breakfast and lunch for a child who usually relies on school for food. Learning Supplies. $50 can deliver essentials that keep kids learning while out of school, like books, activities, and supplies. 20 Healthy Meals. $50 can serve 10 hungry out-of-school children a nutritious breakfast and lunch. These are just a few examples. You can go to savethechildren.org/savekids, savethechildren.org/savekids to find out more.
I'm drawing a blank right now on like what is a current quote. I'll have to come back to you on that one. I'll have to think about it. Because right, I'm running through my quotes in my head and I'm like, I can't think of one specific at this second.
But, yeah, no problem. I'm sure that one will come. Yes. But I'm sure that like any of us, you have your bad days as well. And you have times when it's hard to be grateful when things don't seem to be going on the right track. What do you do to get back on track, to get back on being grateful?
So because I always have a lot of projects cooking. So in addition to me, I have, a demanding job, but I always have like different projects that I'm like doing. And so one of the ways that I channel disappointment or I channel anger or frustration, I pick up whatever project I'm doing. And I put that energy, instead of like being mad or being upset or disappointed, I put all of that energy into something that I'm working on. And so redirecting my energy into a productive piece has been really life-changing. I started to do that. I actually picked that up from, if you know Gary Vee, you know Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a student of both these men because, again, Tony is, he's another person that, like, lives with gratitude. And he is part of his philosophy of life. And so I remember I went to one of his events and he mentioned, you know, sometimes you just have to take the energy and remember you have the power in a split second to change it. You know, you have the power to change your state, you know, change your state of mind, state of being. And I remember when I learned that technique has worked miracles, because now that doesn't mean I don't get upset. I still get upset. Things happen because I'm human. You know, things will happen, and sometimes you're just not happy with what's going on. But I've said, you know what? If I'm upset for more than like 30 minutes, more than an hour, I say, okay, I got to change my state. What do I need to do? And I figure out, like, in an instant, I'm going to do this. So that may be, you know, me working on a project. That may be, you know, me like going for a walk or whatever it is to change. So I don't stay in that space, because I think staying in that space can be a little dangerous, because what happens is that when people are upset, what happens? They get more upset, and then they get more upset, and then it just keeps snowballing. Right. And so I think it's important to like recognize when it's happening, but have mechanisms, have ways, you know, for me, like, you know, with Tony, he taught me, you know, how to trigger, to change my state in an instant. Cause we have that power, no matter what someone may have done to us or whatever, we have the power to change. Like where we are, we have the power to change. You know, we may not, you know, people can do and say whatever, but we have the power of ourselves. So might as well take advantage of that. And that's been very helpful. That's been a game changer, like I said, for me.
I totally agree. I know that he said something about posture, physiology. I think there are three things that we can do to change our state immediately. Mm-hmm. If we have our shoulders down, and we might look down, our head is looking down. All we need to do in this moment, and while you're listening, if you feel that your shoulders are down or something like this, just take them back, raise your head up, or actually look at the sky or do something like this. And the funny thing is that it actually works, and it actually changes your state. Because if I tell you to imagine a person that's sad, you will most probably think of someone that's that has the shoulders down, and that is looking down as well. But when you think about someone who is confident, you see them in the posture that I just mentioned. So that can be really helpful for our listeners. You can do right now when you're listening. Good. So do you feel that you've been grateful all of your life? Like, do you feel that you had one moment when you actually got gratitude, that you actually got to live it more?
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, in the beginning, I was working so hard. You know, I was putting myself through school. I was working full time, in college full time. You know, I was just so focused on like trying to get through school. I wasn't thinking about gratitude. Like, I must admit, I wasn't thinking about that. I think when gratitude started to become a daily part of my life, because I remember I would just do things because I was in such a rush. You know, you're young, you're in such a rush I don't know where you're running to, but you're in such a rush to do things. So I remember, okay, I was like, I finished the school. Okay, check. I finished this. Okay, check. And I was living my life like that. And I think the moment that gratitude, I realized how big, like, what I had accomplished. Cause even graduating college, I didn't think of it as a big thing. Cause I was like, okay, I've done that. That means now I got to go get my master's degree. That means now I got to go get a job. That means, you know what I mean? Like, so to me, it was just check, check, check. And then when I turned, when I was 22, years old. I was about the age of 22 at the time. By that time, I had graduated undergrad a year before. And I told you I was starting my career in IT consulting. The firm I worked for, they relocated me to Atlanta, Georgia, which is another, like, southern part of the US. Mm-hmm. And I like, probably, you know, once I got there, that was 2001. And then, so once I got there, about like 8 months later, I bought my first house.
Wow.
and so it was funny. I didn't go down there to buy a house. I just was traveling so much And I was in an apartment that I was never in. And down there, the prices are reasonable, more reasonable than real estate, like in where I am in Boston. And I just kind of did the math and I said, well, if I'm traveling so much, I might as well buy something instead of like wasting my money in rent, you know?
Yeah.
Because I can afford it. You know, I had enough of a salary that I can afford it. And again, it was just check. Okay, well, let me look for a house and let me do this. And I think when I was moving, the day that I closed on the house, I just graduated from college. I just bought like a new car. I had a job that I was traveling. And I remember the day when I was driving to my house, something hit me. Something said, Christy, do you believe what you just did? Like, do you take a moment? Like, I took a moment to sink it in and I got so emotional because I was like, oh my gosh, like I did this. Like, I'm so thankful that I've come this far in such a short amount of time, you know, from finishing college to like, you know, less than a year later, you know, like I remember when I told people I bought a house, they're like, what? You know, it was like unheard of at my age to buy a house given my background, you know? So when that happened, that's when I said, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I'm going to continue like, and then that's when I started to incorporate like a lot of the gratitude. Cause I realized like, I just felt like I'm incredibly blessed. And I don't think I've ever felt gratitude to that degree until that moment. It wasn't even at the closing. It was like when I was moving, you know? And ever since then, like, it's just been part of it. And I feel like that's actually accelerated. My progress has accelerated my accomplishments ever since then. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. And it points to something really interesting that we, in spite of what's going on the outside, the fact right. that we have the experience of gratitude on the inside, that makes the difference and that gets us to appreciate the experiences that we have so much more. And it's such a big difference.
And kind of to that, one thing I was going to add to the story, what also you just made me remember, because I forgot why that was such an important moment. Yes, it was big to be buying a house that young. But one of the bigger reasons was because I remember when I was first moving to Atlanta and I told some of the people that I knew at the time I went to high school with, they told me, oh, you'll be back. You're not going to be successful. Oh, you know, man. You know that. So that was, you know, these were like friends, you know, they were like not happy for me that I was moving. So the fact that they, you know, they're like, oh, you'll be back. Oh, you're not going to, you know, consulting is hard. Like, I don't know, you know, you don't do that type of work. Like, you know, you're a woman, you're a Black woman, you know, like it was just like, I'm just, you know, to them, it was like, you're living a dream, but like, give it up. You're not going to succeed. And then to see these things continue to happen, despite what people said, I think after a while I shut everybody up, but, in the beginning, you know, again, because of my background, people didn't think I had it in me to accomplish what I did, you know, and they didn't, you know, I don't think they, you know, I don't know if they, you know, they doubted my abilities, but they didn't think I had it in me. So.
Yeah, usually when people say that you can't do something, it means that they can't do something. And it's much easier for them to say, oh, you can't do that. You're like me. How could you do this?
It's,
right. There is this story that a business coach here from Romania said. He had a talk with his father and he told his father then that within a year or so, he will earn in a day how much he's earning in a month or something like this. And his father said something like, really, boy, I made you. How can you do that?
right.
And people wanting to be helpful or wanting to for us not to be hurt or for them to not be hurt, fortunately. And they tell us things like these and it's actually their limitations. And the fact that you went on and you were able to actually make things happen is amazing. And congrats for that. But you mentioned the part of your life when you were younger and you were going from one thing to another. If you could go back in time, what would you tell that younger self about gratitude?
Man, so that younger self, I would say that, you know, sometimes you have to slow down, you know, you have to slow down and you have to not just, you know, doing things to check a box, but thinking about the impact of it and taking a moment to reflect on like what this means. You know, I didn't do that. You know, like I said, I don't know. I was like, so this is one thing about me, Jordan. I sometimes get obsessed. that's the best word I can use. But when I'm laser focused and I want something, I'm like this, you know, and I work and I will work my heart out. You know, I'm going to like stay up all night and do all this stuff. And that's why maybe I was by design made for consulting. Right. But I've always had a very, like I said, a strong work ethic, but I think I didn't take time to appreciate the accomplishments that I did as much as I should have. Mm-hmm. And I would tell my younger self to just kind of slow down, take time to get to know and build relationships with people. I know for me, like I said, I was so focused on checking boxes and stuff. There were people that were probably in hindsight trying to help me or trying to be my mentor, you know, and especially in college, that I may have not seen because I was just so focused on my goals, you know, and maybe they could have helped me, you know, when I told you I got to work and I didn't have mentors, maybe they could have helped me find them, you know, if I had built relationships with them, you know, they could have said, hey, okay, I know somebody in this space. And, you know, and so in hindsight, I feel like I would have told myself to really kind of slow down and get to know people and take time and just have fun. I was very serious, so yeah. Very serious, very focused, you know, very like this. I think you can do that, but you can incorporate everything else as well, you know, to make more balance. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there and I can totally relate. But right now, or until you got to be this grateful, did you do some kind of practice consistently to help you to stay in this state of gratitude?
I mean, like I said, I wake up and I have my, you know, my quote, like a miracle will happen today. I think it's just honestly on the plane, I reflect. So I travel a lot because of the type of work that I do. So I always take a moment to just pause. I think just pausing and really thinking about what's happened, what hasn't happened, where are you, getting like a pulse check of where you are, even that is important because sometimes you think about things differently. I know I started to do that. Like when I go to the gym, I would think about stuff and, you know, I feel like being thankful, it goes back to that Tony Robbins thing. When you're thankful, you're in a different state of mind at times. And when you focus on how thankful you are, I think sometimes answers to problems show up. I think you kind of open up a world of different thought and different possibility and just being thankful. Now, I guess because I'm so used to that kind of the gratitude piece, I can get into the space of like meditation and gratitude really quick. So I have like, there's this song that I have like that's on YouTube that I downloaded that I use. It's like a meditation, like a om song. Mm-hmm. So whenever I need to get into that space, like I purposefully need to get there, even if it's for 2 minutes, it's for 1 minute, that helps me. That helps me recenter a lot. So besides that, like I said, saying the miracle will happen. I'm really big about visualization as well. And so I have vision boards all over the place. I always have vision boards. And it's nice to see when vision boards, pictures come true because they have. And I didn't even know that's what they were called before. I used to do that as a kid.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's funny. I told you I've accomplished many things. Like I remember I had a picture of a BMW when I was a kid. And again, when I was a kid, I didn't have any of that. And I said, you know what? I want that car. And I put it and I looked at it every day. I didn't know it was called a vision board, you know, but that's what I called it. And then, you know, a year later, after I bought my house, a year later, I bought my dream car. That same car, I bought it. So, wow. You know, when those things happen, you have to be thankful. You have to. Like, there's no other, I don't know. And again, from my background, I have to. Like, it's the only way to live. And I feel like the energy that I give off and the passion that I have, it comes from gratitude. Because people always say, Christy, you're so passionate. You're such a passionate person. And I think it's honestly because it's like, I have to be. Like, I have to be because I just have so much gratitude in my life. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. What I wanted to point out for our listeners is the habit that you have with the miracle affirmation. And I think that what you're doing great with that part is the fact that you really believe it, and you don't expect for big things to happen all the time, but you have by having the gratitude, you can see the miracles in the little things. And I think it's a really great way of living life and of doing gratitude, because when we think about miracles, we think about usually things that seem impossible. But sometimes when we are sad, it might seem impossible for us to smile or to be happy. And that can be a miracle. It's a simple one, but it can be a miracle. And I love the fact that you mentioned this part, and I think that it can be very useful for our listeners, and I wanted to bring that out and to get it more clear for our listeners to actually implement in their life. But getting back to what you said about relationships, about the fact that they are so important in our life, do you have some people in your life that you would like to mention that you are really grateful for, that helped you along the way, or that just made an impact?
Yeah. How much time you have? Just for you. I mean, obviously, you know, my family, my mom, you know, may she rest in peace. I've seen the sacrifices that my family has done for me. Very happy, thankful. I have an amazing husband. So I got married 2 years ago, and
congratulations.
I'm just very, very happy with my marriage. I have a stepson. I have a 13-year-old stepson. And he actually keeps me young. He kind of keeps me hip to certain things. And he's such a caring young man. I'm very smart, and so I'm very thankful for him. Thankful for my family, but my siblings, my sister, she's my biggest cheerleader. I have some friends. I mean, I just have some friends, like some people, and I think I've done that purposefully. I think when you live with gratitude, you know, at the state that I do, I remember when I started to really live it. Remember I told you about the house thing?
Yeah.
When I started to really live gratitude, I noticed that certain people started to just disappear out of my life. And I didn't know why. And then, you know, I used to get upset, like, oh, they don't want to speak. And I said, you know what? I realized I'm on a different journey. My life is, I'm on a different path. And that means that not everyone is going to come with you on that path. And so that's something I would tell the listeners. Don't be afraid. You know, if you start to create a life of gratitude, not everyone is in that space, and that's okay. You know, like, you want to definitely, because you're going to attract the people that fit that life of gratitude. You're going to attract them in your life. You're going to attract certain experiences. You're going to attract certain resources, certain things. And so don't be afraid to let go of the past. You know, if I think about the people that were doubting me when I said that I was going to move, and I had all these big dreams, and they doubted me and they laughed, I would have still been there. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been able to accomplish what I did. So sometimes I think people are scared to get out of a comfort zone. But they are surrounded by people that are very negative. So, you know, something to consider is when you live with gratitude, the universe does the work. You don't have to worry. People will just stop showing up in your life that don't need to be there. So, and let it be, You know, that's the biggest thing. Let accept it for what it is.
This is wonderful advice. And I love that you pointed that out. And I think this is really brilliant that some people might might not be anymore in your life, and other people, hopefully more positive, more grateful as you are, might appear, and things might shift really fast. And yeah, this is one of the reasons why I'm working on and putting together a gratitude group for my listeners to have those kind of people that are grateful, that are positive, that sustain this feeling and have the same values. And I think that's really powerful, and I'm really glad that you mentioned it. So we are nearing the end of our time together. Where can our audience find you? Where can our audience see your work?
Well, they can definitely find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. You can go to Christy Lindor, and just feel free to reach out about anything. Like I said, I'm big on mentoring. In my life, I've reinvented my brand. You know, I've always been a consultant, but I've reinvented my brand. Like I said, I'm about to publish my book. I'm right in the middle of that. So, you know, talk about that. I could talk about family, you know, being the eldest, being first generation. I mean, I could talk to anybody about anything. So, you know, feel free to reach out. Again, it's Christy Lindor. You can, if you go to my blog, christylindor.com. If you want more information about my podcast or my book, you can go to mecemuse.com. And that's M-E-C-E, Muse, M-U-S-E.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your story. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. Help us reach our goal of inspiring 100,000 people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones, with your Facebook friends. And if you loved this episode, please write a review on iTunes. Search for the Gratitude Podcast. By the way, what are you grateful for right now?